If you'd return again to Revelation chapter 20, and there's two verses there that I wish to bring together in verse 12 and also then the last verse of this chapter as well. And as indicated this morning, we want to think about the books of God, and it started out as a sermon on the Lamb's Book of Life, but before we get to the Lamb's Book of Life, we might think about some of these other books that are mentioned. But in verse 12 it says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works." And then the last verse, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Let's bow in prayer just for a moment and ask the Lord for his help. Our Heavenly Father, we do need thy help, and we pray that the Word of God might live in our hearing. Lord, it's more than just a sermon on a particular topic tonight that we want and need. We need a word from thyself. We need thy word to be applied with the power of the Holy Ghost to all of our hearts. And to that end, we pray now that thou will draw near and help and minister to our hearts. And Lord, may we find profit for our soul as we come around the Word of God. Oh, speak to us, we pray, and may we rejoice in thee, and may indeed our names be in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hear us, we pray now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As it's very obvious from these two verses that I have drawn to your attention, there are various books that belong to God that are mentioned in the Bible. We might have books, and we might have many books, but when we come to the Scriptures, we discover as well that God has some books. Now, from verse 12 there are at least three books that are mentioned, if we read the verse correctly. Because it says there that the books, plural, were opened, and another book was opened. So there's already the plural number that is used, so the minimum in the plural is going to be two, and then there is another book that is opened as well, and further down we find that it is the book of life that is opened. So even from this particular portion, it is obvious that the Lord has a number of books. In fact, we'll come to see just how many he does have in a little moment or two. So there are a number of references in the Word of God, particularly here, that does establish this truth that God has various books. Now, it's not to be understood, as is obvious, in a literal way, that God literally has a book, because God is an invisible God. He is an invisible spirit. So an invisible spirit is not going to have a literal physical book. What is here is a metaphor. It is referring to a record that God has in his infinite mind. Just the same way as we would associate a record and a book. For example, there are many books that are elsewhere found in the Word of God, and some of those books, well, there's a number of different purposes. They record facts, they record events, they record names. For example, you'll read about the book of the generations of Adam in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 1. Evidently a book of names, a book of descendants, because that chapter goes on to speak about Adam and all of the descendants that came from him. And it starts off that there's the book of the generations of Adam. Then there's the book of the wars of the Lord that is mentioned. Maybe I should do a quiz and ask you, well, where do you think that is found? That's found in the book of Numbers. Numbers 21 and verse 14. And evidently, as the name suggests, it's a book that's detailing some of the experiences of Israel in the wilderness, particularly battles that they fought. If it's going to be called the Book of the Wars of the Lord, well, there's going to be wars, evidently, that are going to be mentioned and recorded in that particular book. And then there's the book of Jasher in Judges chapter 10 and verse 13 that's mentioned. And that book would seem to give some account of Israel's heroes in the past, together with some of their achievements. That's the purpose for it being referenced there in Joshua chapter 10, verse 13, I should have said. The book of Joshua. Then there's the book of the Acts of Solomon, 1 Kings 11, 41. You read about the book of the Acts of Solomon, containing again, obviously, some of the events and the acts that took place during his reign. And you can read on and find other books in a similar vein, because it'll mention the existence of other books relating to the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah. There's one that is very well known, I think, in the book of Esther, chapter 10 and verse 2, because mention is made there of the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Media and Persia. And that book played a very important part, because that was the book that the king started to read, remember, and then he discovered the record that was there about Mordecai and what Mordecai had done in warning the king of those who were plotting against him. And it started off that whole train of events that exposed wicked Haman and brought to an end his wicked design upon the children of Israel. So that book was very important. Now, all of those books, and there's more besides that, I'm just highlighting a few of them to you, but there's a number of others that are mentioned in the scriptures as well. But in all of those books, there is a record that is given of either facts, events, or names. Well, we are to understand the same thing when we come to a portion like Revelation chapter 20, and it tells us that in that judgment day, there's going to be an opening of the books, and then there's another book that is opened as well. It is the idea that God has a record. In God's infinite mind, in his infinite mind, God has a record of names, he has a record of events, he has a record of facts that are all going to be brought out on that day of judgment, as is evident here from Revelation chapter 20. It indicates to us as well that God's purposes and plans are carried through in the world. That what God has established in his infinite mind. And in the looking at this, we'll go back right into eternity past, when we come particularly to think about the Lamb's Book of Life. It takes us away back into eternity past. And what God has established in his, not only his infinite mind, but his eternal mind, comes to pass in the world. What God has recorded and the record that he has, it indicates these things to us. So when we come to think about the books that God has, there is need, and this is why I started off thinking about the Lamb's Book of Life and then went back a step or two, because I think we do need to understand and differentiate between the books that God has that are mentioned in the scriptures. I would suggest to you that God has as many as six books. Six books. I've said that there's at least three of them mentioned here in Revelation chapter 20. Well, there's some others that are mentioned elsewhere as well. And therefore, when we come to read various portions of scripture, we need to stop for a moment and say, well, what book does that fit in particularly to? For example, you can read in Psalm 139, where it says, "Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written." Well, there's a book that we need to think about and think about, well, what is in that book that is mentioned? Philippians chapter 4, verse 3, "I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with others, my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life." And then Revelation chapter 3, 5, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life." And then there's, if you turn over to Revelation chapter 22 there, just a page or so, and we're almost at the end of the Word of God, chapter 22, verse 19, "If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." So there's various books, and there's going to be other references that we'll turn to as well in the course of this. And as I say, I suggest that there are six books that the Bible mentions in when we come to think about this matter. I'm just going to take you through the six of them, and we'll see how far we come this evening. We might come back, God willing, another time and think more about the last one, the Lamb's Book of Life, when we get to that. Let's start off with this. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 1. There is the book of God's eternal purpose. The book of God's eternal purpose. Because in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 1, and right down through this chapter, in actual fact, it makes reference to this book. But it says, "And I saw in the right hand of him which sat on the throne a book, written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals." And if you look on down that chapter, you will find many references to this book, and the whole thrust of the portion is, who is able to open this book? And finally, there is only one individual who is able to open this book, and that is the Lamb of God himself. He's the one who's able to open this book, in the sense that he is the one who is in control of all of these events. And everything that is going to be revealed unto John, and he's going to put it down in the book of the Revelation that we have to read. God has already established all of those things in his eternal book, the eternal book of his eternal purpose. And there is this vision that John sees. He's taken up into heaven, as we know. He's in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He sees these things, and one of these things that he is made to see is the one who's on the throne and the one who has this book, and it's sealed with seven seals. Nobody can open this book. Nobody can undo the seals that are on this book. Nobody has the authority to do so because nobody is in control of the events. There's only one who's in control of these events that are going to be revealed and set before us in the subsequent chapters, and that is the Lamb of God. And he, as it goes on to tell us here, he is the one who is found worthy. And then they sing his praises. And there is praise that is given to the Lamb who is mentioned here. They sing verse 9, they sing the new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." That eternal purpose, that book of God's eternal purpose, particularly has to do with redemption. It's the outworking of the purpose of redemption in the earth. God's eternal purpose. And we know that that indeed is an eternal purpose. Long before the foundation of the world, God had established the great plan and purpose of redemption. And there is a book that contains, as it were, the details of it. And that is going to be outworked. And there's only one individual who can ever open that book and undo the seals, and that's the Lamb of God. So there's the book of God's eternal purpose. Now, if we go way back over to Psalm 139, I've quoted the verse already to you. And we come here to God's book of design for each individual. Psalm 139. And there's a portion here that I want us to read, beginning at verse 13. Psalm 139, verse 13. "Thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them." And I want you to tie up the book and the thoughts. Because as I said, and it is obvious, it is not that the Lord has a literal book. Because he's a spirit being, he doesn't have a literal book. But what is suggested to us there is the metaphor of the book that records details and facts and names. There's the thought here of God's thoughts, that they are ordered thoughts. They are thoughts that are brought together, and we're thinking here about each individual and how we are formed and made. Verse 17 about the thoughts of God do not stand on its own. It has to be tied in with the verse and the portion that goes before. How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God. Because it's as if God has recorded his thoughts about each individual in a book. The book of design with regards to that individual life. It's like a blueprint for life. Or mankind might call it DNA. But God was already long ahead of the scientist and their discovery of DNA that makes up an individual and makes that individual unique. As we know, there is a uniqueness about every individual. But that's already long established here in the psalm. The psalmist is speaking about God making an individual, fearfully and wonderfully made, marvelous, that all of our members. It says there in verse 16, "In thy book all my members were written, when which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." Even before we're born, God already had the blueprint. God had already established the blueprint in his infinite mind. He already had a blueprint for every individual that's ever going to be born into this world that makes them unique, that makes them what they are. The Lord has already established that. And the Bible likens it here to God having a book and all the details of all individuals and all the members of the body. And then you think about the wonder of the human body and all the different parts of the human body, all the different members of the human body, and how all they function within themselves and how they all function in relation to one another. Is it any wonder the psalmist there begins that section in verse 14 saying, "I'm fearfully and wonderfully made"? So there's God's book of eternal purpose. There's God's book of intricate design. But then there's God's book of the living. And if you stay with the Psalms and just go back to Psalm 69 for a moment. Psalm 69, and it's verse 28. And here's where we do need to be careful in our understanding of the book of the living as compared to the Lamb's book of life, because there's a difference. This is the book of the living. And in Psalm 69, verse 28, it says, "Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous." Now, the book of the living is a reference to those who are alive on the earth at any one time. It's tied in with the book of design. And maybe you could even say it's one and the same. Although I've divided them up here because the Bible would suggest there's different books here. But you could bring these two together, the book of God's intricate design and the book of the living, because the book of the living would give us the suggestion that there is, as it were, a record that God has of every individual who is alive on the earth or who will be alive on the earth at any particular time. And when a person dies and passes away and leaves this scene of time, it's as if their name is removed from that record. They're no longer in the book of the living because they're no longer alive on the earth. Their day has come and gone. You see, was that the book that Moses was referring to in Exodus 32, verse 32? On that day when he was pleading with God and interceding on the behalf of Israel, and he says, "Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written." I'm certainly not inclined to believe that Moses was asking God to blot him his name out of the book of the Lamb's book of life. I don't believe that's what he was asking. But was it that he was asking, "Lord, blot my name out of the book of the living. If my death will mean that you'll spare this nation and spare this people, though they have sinned, I'm willing for my name to be blotted out of the book of the living. I'm willing to die." And Moses had gone up the mount to plead. It's Exodus 32, verse 32, if you want the portion again. And there Israel had sinned, they'd fallen into idolatry, and as a consequence of that idolatry, 3,000 of them had already died. And Moses begins to pray for them and to plead with God that God would have mercy upon them, and Moses was willing to forfeit his own life if that by that means that people, that nation might be spared. Because remember what God said, "Moses, I'll wipe them all out and I'll make of you a nation. I'll make of you a people. I'll take you and your descendants and make of them a people, and I'll take them to the land of promise." And Moses reminded the Lord of the promises that he had made to Israel. And Moses was willing for God to blot his own name out of the book of the living. He was willing to die. If that's what it took in order to spare that people, Moses was willing to die. So you have the book of the living, the record of those that are alive on the earth at any time. And as we know, one by one, names are blotted out of that book. As our day is done in this world and our time comes to an end, it's as if there's a blotting out of that name of the book, out of the book of the living. They're no longer alive in the earth. Once that person was alive, now they are no longer alive. And therefore, in that sense, God has a record of those who are alive on the earth. Because remember, the Lord knows not only the most intricate details there about our makeup and our constitution, but even about our existence in the world. That statement comes to mind in Matthew, the very hairs of our head are numbered. The Lord knows all about us. The Lord knows who's alive in the earth. You know, the government mightn't know how many people are in the country, but the Lord knows how many people are in the earth, right down to the vast detail, because there's a book of the living. And then if you turn over to Malachi chapter 3, you'll come to the book of remembrance. This is number 4. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. So it's called here the book of remembrance. There's a book that is here written in this regard. God is not only aware of every individual's constitution, not only aware of every individual who is alive on the earth at any one time, the Lord takes notice of those who love him and who serve him and who speak for him and who honor him and who labor for him in this world. There is a particular record that God keeps in his infinite mind. There is a book of remembrance that is written. Not everybody that's in the book of life is going to be in the book of remembrance. Every single soul is going to be in the book of the living. They wouldn't be on the earth otherwise. Every single individual, we can go back there, and every single individual is in the book of intricate design. But not every individual is in the book of remembrance. And here's where we start to make a difference in people and in the books that God has given. Because there at the beginning we can start out and say, well, everybody's in these books. That book that sets down the makeup and constitution of every individual. Every single individual is in that. Those that are alive on the earth at any one time, they're in the book of the living. But now we come to change a little bit when we come to think about the book of remembrance. Because not everybody's going to be in the book of remembrance. That's obvious here from what is mentioned in Malachi 3 and verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. This book is for a particular group of individuals. The names that are mentioned here, the details that are mentioned in this particular book, are for a particular group of individuals. They're for those that fear the Lord and who think upon his name. And in that particular book, there's going to be a record, as I say, of all who have owned the Lord, all who have labored for the Lord, all who have served the Lord. The reason why that book exists is because God is going to give a reward someday. Out of this book of remembrance, God, Jesus Christ, is going to give his rewards. He's going to distribute his rewards according to what is written in the book of remembrance. And as the Lord writes up that book and keeps that account, as it were, in his infinite mind, he records and he details everything that a single individual has done, right down, as it tells us in Matthew, to somebody giving a cup of cold water in the Lord's name. That's how much detail is in that book. Isn't that what the Lord said? That somebody that gives a cup of cold water in his name would not lose their reward? Right down to the most intricate detail. The Lord takes note and the Lord records all that is done in his name and for his cause. And it's kept and recorded for a purpose, because there is coming a day of reward. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21 and 23, there's a repetition of these words. It's the parable. And the Lord said unto the servant, the Lord with the lowercase L, not the Lord of heaven, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Matthew 25, verses 21, 23, it's repeated. That's a reference, that's a parable that is told in the light of the day of reward. And that day of reward comes about as a result of that book of remembrance that has been in existence. And in it there is recorded all who have feared the Lord, all who have thought upon his name. Everything that has been done for Christ has been taken account of.
And whatever we do for Christ, the Lord takes note of. Maybe nobody else sees it. Maybe our service is hidden in some respect and nobody sees what is done. Maybe nobody ever acknowledges what is done. Well, rest assured of this, Christian. The Lord has seen it. The Lord has taken notice of it. Right down to the smallest of detail. Just giving a cup of cold water in the Savior's name. The Lord has note of that. And if it goes right down to that detail, then how much detail there is in that book? It's worth asking the question. How much detail would be in it about any of us? If we were to get a little insight into that book tonight, what would be in it against our name? Would there be service for the Lord? Service that is rendered in some way or another, no matter who sees it or not. But would there be service against our name? Would there be something recorded against our name in that book? Would we be in it? There's this book of remembrance that is written. It's not really our purpose tonight, but you could stop there for a little time in Malachi 3 and 6 and just notice the form of the words that are there. You know, how the Lord hearkened and heard it. It was as if the Lord is just listening in to every conversation. Listening in. Is there detail to record in the book here? Well, the Lord's listening in. Is there somebody who's witnessing for the Lord? Is there somebody who's speaking up for the Lord? Maybe not another soul sees what they're doing. Maybe in a workplace or whatever. Maybe in some other set of circumstances, somebody has the opportunity to speak up for the Lord and they take the opportunity and they stand for Christ and they say a word for the Lord. It's as if the Lord's listening in to write it down, put it in the book. It's going to get a reward. The Lord has his books. Let's come to the fifth one. That brings us back to Revelation 20. And the book of record for the day of judgment is the fifth one here that's mentioned in this chapter that we have read, verse 12. We've drawn this to your attention already, where the dead and small and great stand before God, and the books, plural, were opened. And it tells you then at the end of verse 12, the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. So there are books of records here in light of the day of judgment. And in those books, each and every sinful deed of the unconverted is recorded. If God has a book that records the service of his people, the book of remembrance, he has also a book that records the sins of the unconverted. And that book that records the sins of the unconverted is just as detailed as the book of remembrance that records every service, every time someone has spoken up for Christ. And out of these books, there's going to be the judgment. Daniel makes mention of this book as well in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 10. The previous verse indicates that day when the thrones were cast down of all the kings of the earth, and the Ancient of Days did sit, who's Jesus Christ. And then verse 10 says, a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him, and thousands ministered unto him. Daniel 7, verse 10. And 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. Just picture that in your mind. Here is the Ancient of Days, the Lord in all his glory. That glory that he veiled when he came into the world the first time to be the Redeemer and Savior of sinners, that he is not going to veil in any way coming the second time. In fact, his second coming is described in the very opposite terms. It is described as a revelation. We're in the book of Revelation tonight, and it has the idea of an unveiling. Christ is coming in all his glory. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, it tells you there in Daniel 7, verse 10. All the multitudes of the living that were in the book of life, the book of the living, they're going to stand before him 10,000 times 10,000. And then it tells you the judgment was set and then the books were opened. God has a record of every sin, every ungodly act that has ever been perpetrated and committed in any way. God has a record. I know we're moving about from portion to portion, but we're following a theme really tonight, so we really can't help but move about. But go to the book of Jude, or else listen as I read these words out of the book of Jude. Verses 14 and 15 to deal with Enoch. Jude, verse 14, Enoch also the seventh from Adam prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment Well, how detailed is that judgment? Well, let's listen to all of these statements. To execute judgment upon all that are in the book of the living are going to stand before him. And to convince all that are ungodly. So now he's focusing in on those who are not in the Lamb's book of life, those who are not in the book of remembrance and that they have lived for the Lord or served the Lord. They're among the ungodly. He's going to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their harsh speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. All their deeds and all their words, all of them, God is going to bring them out that day. Why? Because they're in the books in God's infinite mind. It's as if they're on a ledger, stored up, each one written in. Just as God listens in, as we were noticing in Malachi, when he listens in to the redeemed and their conversation and what they have been doing for the Lord, and he takes a record of it to give a reward someday, so he does with the unconverted. Every sin, every wicked ungodly deed, every wicked ungodly word that has ever crossed their lips, everything they have spoken against, God has a record. And when we get to Revelation chapter 20, we find that there comes that day, as Daniel is telling us as well, judgment is set and the books are opened. Isn't it interesting that this is the first one that's in the plural? The books. And what a record of sin it lies against anyone's. What a record of sin. If God begins to mark iniquity, the Bible, who shall stand? And these books are opened on that day. And it tells us there in Revelation 20, verse 12, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. God is a record of sin. That ought to make any individual flee to Christ for salvation. When God begins to expose sins, sins that people were ashamed of, sins that people would have hidden and never wanted anyone to know, sinful thoughts, what an awful day that will be when God begins to open the books and bring out the record, and one sin after another is listed. All their ungodly deeds, all of their ungodly spirit, all brought out on the day of judgment. Is it any wonder the Bible tells us that there will not be one who will speak? There will be silence. Every mouth will be stopped. Nobody's going to speak up to defend. Nobody's going to say that's not true. That's not right. I never did that. This infinite mind of the eternal God has an accurate record. And he has got a full record too. The record ready for the judgment. And then that brings us to the Lamb's Book of Life. And you'll notice it here in this portion that we have read this evening, because it's mentioned in verse 12 that there are these other books out of which the dead are judged, the ungodly are judged. But then it mentions another book. Another book was opened. Oh, how glorious is that truth? There's another book. If there were only the books ready for judgment, what would be the end of it? If that's all there was. But there's another book. And on that judgment day, there's another book that is brought into remembrance. And we're told what it is. It's the book of life, or the book of the Lamb's book of life. Because if you go back to chapter 13, and we will come back another time maybe and consider this more fully, but just to bring to conclusion our thoughts tonight on this point, look at chapter 13 of the book of the Revelation and verse 8, because here's the fuller title that belongs to this particular book. And it says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. There's the full title. And when the full title has been given, it's no surprise then that further over the shorter version of the title is given. In Revelation 20, it mentions there's the book of life that is opened here. But the full name has already been given. John has already introduced the full name of this book to us in chapter 13, and verse 8, it's the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And then go to Revelation chapter 21. And there's another reference to this book. The last verse of Revelation chapter 21. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book. There's another reference. This is a special book. A special book. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life because it is intimately connected with the death of the Lamb and the blood of the Lamb. There's not a single name that can be in that book without the blood of the Lamb and without the death of the Lamb. That's why John identifies it so fully in the way that he does. It's the book of life of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. The Lamb slain. That's what's connected with this book. And that's the book tonight we need our name in. You see, God has a record. Among other things that we have been noticing here tonight, God has a record of those who are the heirs of the kingdom of God. He has a record of those who have been washed. Their names are in the Lamb's. There's a couple of verses I have down here in my notes to turn you to. You see, twice over in the scripture, we are assured that the Lord knoweth them that are his. You have it first of all in Nahum chapter 1 and verse 7. The Lord knoweth them that trust in him. And then in 2 Timothy 2 verse 19, nevertheless the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that... How does he know them? Because their names are in the Lamb's book. They're those who are washed in his blood. They're those who have been cleansed from sin. And they're in that Lamb's book. And of all the books of God, that's the one we need to have our name in. That record of the redeemed. That record of those who have a saving interest in the Lamb. The Lamb slain from before the foundation of... And may tonight our names be in the Lamb's book. There's some other matters that I want to say about the Lamb's book, like particularly, and maybe if the Lord leads, we'll come back next Sunday evening and think about it. But oh, may our names be in the Lamb's book. Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we have sought to glean from Thy Word tonight of this wonderful theme. And we pray, Lord, that we might have done so with profit, even with challenge. And Lord, we pray that it might certainly be with comfort. Oh, may our names be in the Lamb's book of life. And on that judgment day, when that other book is opened, oh Lord, we'll be safe from judgment. We'll be safe from wrath. The wrath to come will not fall upon us, because our names are there, written on those pages bright and fair. May we rejoice in that tonight. May it be a comfort to us. Grant thy blessing to us now as we come to a close, and as we would go our separate way. Abide with us. May we go rejoicing if our names are there. They're there never to be blotted out. Lord, we'll never be blotted out of this book. We might be blotted out of the book of the living when our days are done in this world. Lord, we thank thee. We'll never be blotted out of the Lamb's book of life. May we go rejoicing. Hear us, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask tonight. Amen.